Amen. Wanda, would you read Psalms 37, verse 4?
Delight yourself also in the Lord, and he shall give you the desires of your heart.
And then New American Standard reads like, delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight. Delight in Hebrew is used for a garment that is delicate and luxurious. Here it means to feel great favor towards something. In other words, delight. To feel great favor towards something. We need to notice carefully the object of our delight. What are we delighting in? It's not his forgiveness. It's not his rescue. It's not his blessings or his promises. So many times we delight in him, the Lord, for our needs, to do away with our hurts, our healing, to meet our needs. You know, so many times we're so wrapped up in ourselves. All we can think about is us, is me. But this verse makes it clear that we do not delight in something God has done for us. It says delight in him. Not in something he's done for us. We delight in his person. In who he is. The subject is described because it's attractive in and of itself. The verse expresses great emotional joy about the subject. The psalmist points us toward God himself. It's delight in him. In him. I want Wanda to read Matthew 13, verse 44.
Again, the kingdom of God is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid. And for joy over it, he goes and sells all that he has and buys that field.
You know, this is just one of the parables that Jesus is talking about. You know, it's one of the parables is a pearl of great price and such and such. But Jesus calls such delight a priceless treasure in a field. This picture's why delight in God is what life is all about. In other words, when I see God, I'm willing to sell everything. Sell everything for him. To have him. To experience him is to experience life itself in all of its splendor and majesty. Life in Jesus is a replacement process. In it, we will find that God becomes a delight to us. That we can enjoy his company and his purpose. That our lives are lighter because we have trusted him. In Psalms 22, verse 4, it says, "And you, our Father, trusted. They trusted and you delivered them." We talked about this trust some time back. But I just thought it was, you know, when we were going through this, that we need to remember what trust really is. You know, we're so used to the idea that Israel trusted God and that we fail to recognize that most of the uses of trust, the word trust, describe cases of false trust. It certainly means to feel secure, to be unconcerned, to rely on something or someone. But most of the time we find that people find security in the wrong things. The short list of the wrong things would include wealth, households, military might, political alliances, other people, religious rituals, and last but certainly not least, ourselves. We rely on ourselves. We trust ourselves. But the Bible puts it quite plainly. Anyone who places security in these things, the things I just listed, will be confounded. Disappointment stands in the wings, ready to jump to center stage. If we're foolish enough to trust in what the world has to offer as substitutes for the divine, we will discover sooner or later that we made a terrible, terrible mistake. Many times we put our trust in money and power and influence. The answer is in the verse, not in what it, in Psalms 22, not in what it says, but what it implies. This verse does not say that the fathers trusted in God because he delivered them. It says they trusted God. And as a result of that trust, they were delivered. So many times we trust God for what, because of what he does. Amen? But that's not what the verse is saying. They trusted God, and then he delivered them. If I trust God because I believe that he will do such and such, then my faith is not really in God, but in the subsequent action he will perform on my behalf. In other words, I have faith in his deeds, not in him. In this verse, it says that they trusted him. They trusted him, and then he delivered them. If I trust God simply for who he is, then he can respond in grace and mercy toward me. If I trust him for who he is, for the person he is. Why? Because I have learned to trust a person, not an action. It's about learning to trust him, not what he does. I have discovered that I can have an intimate, secure relationship based on his character. I do not need to see him act in order to know that he is reliable. Trust is the flip side of holiness. If God is holy, then I'm duty bound to trust him. Either I trust God because I know who he is, or my relationship with him is a sham, even if I pledge love, honor, and obedience. I can trust who he is only when I know who he is. The reason why we are constantly seduced into placing our trust in the list of false security is that we are still looking for action items. We're still looking to see something happening instead of just trusting him, placing our hands in him and trusting him. In other words, we've not stepped forward in faith and anchored our lives in the character of God. That's what life in him is just anchoring our life in the character of God. So many times we don't understand what it means for God to be holy. We think of God in just terms of action. our vocabulary reflects this. When we're asked to describe, if I ask you to describe the Bible in a single word, what would you come up with?
Jesus.
A lot of people will say love, mercy, forgiveness. Very few would say holy. God is holy. He is holy. And we look to Him. We look to Him. As we said, life in Jesus is a replacement process. A most amazing transformation occurs when we begin to seek a relationship with God. Seeking a relationship with Him because He is holy. Him who He is, not what He does. I mean, we're a people of action, amen? We want things, let's go get it, okay? Let's go do this and let's go do that. That we're a people of action. But God says, seek Him for who He is. Not what He does, who He is. And the most amazing transformation occurs when we begin to seek that relationship with God. Our lives progress toward fulfillment. We experience the desires of our reborn hearts as real experience of joy. We come to the place being happy and content, just belonging to Him. It doesn't make any difference about anything else. It's just belonging to Him. I'm happy then. We'll know contentment. That is a promise we can count on. You know, in the frenzy of activity we call life. Did you know that life is sometimes a frenzy? You know what a frenzy is? Just busy all the time. Just doing this and being busy. I'm wondering if we wouldn't experience more of what we seek if we simply delighted in Him. If we set aside all the distractions and the diversions and all the other self-sufficient pleasures built on our expectation and our intentions and let ourselves just bask in being with Him. Power of waiting on the Lord. Being quiet before Him. Waiting in silence. Wanda, would you read Isaiah, the 40th chapter, verse 31?
But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint.
We need the supernatural strength and the supernatural ability that comes to those who wait for the Lord. That wait for the Lord. This verse says in Isaiah, it says that they will gain new strength. The Hebrew says they will exchange strength. In other words, they're going to exchange their weakness for strength, those that wait on Him. We're weak. We're tired. We've come to the end of our own resources. You know, sometimes God has to work at it for us to come to the end of our resources, our own resources. I was talking to someone this week, and I said, you got to give up on yourself, give up on trying to do that. Just place yourself in the hands of God and wait on Him. To the American way, that's a cop-out, amen? That's right. I mean, we don't like to give up and say, just, I'm going to wait on you, Lord. Not this group, but, you know, that's the way. Most Westerners, they want to do it themselves, amen? They want to do it. God says, it says in this verse, wait on the Lord. Focus your heart and your mind on Him. Turn your eyes toward Him. Realize that the answer is not in yourself. It's not in the world around you. It comes only from the Lord. Trust in His holiness, who He is. Wait on who He is. And as we meet, as we do this, as we meet this condition, we're waiting on Him, we're trusting in Him. In God's due time, you'll renew your strength. You will exchange your weakness for His strength. You'll be full of strength. In the place of weakness and your limitations, you'll receive the divine supernatural strength of God. You know what? So many times we pray, we want to have the supernatural strength of God. We ask God, give us, and we don't stop long enough to wait on Him. We don't stop long enough to get into His presence and seek Him for who He is and His holiness. The point of release for divine supernatural strength in our lives is waiting for the Lord. You want me to repeat that again? Because we all want the supernatural, amen? We want to see the supernatural this. We want to see the supernatural that. We want to see it happening, amen? We sing the song, send the fire, Lord. Send revival. Send this. Do this. You know, and then I don't know what it is about 3 o'clock in the morning, what that has to do with anything, but He has a tendency to wake me up about that time to pray and to seek Him. But waiting for Him is the key to experiencing the supernatural. Waiting for Him. So I want to encourage each one of you this morning. I want to encourage us in our quiet times, when we're praying, when we're seeking Him. When I say we're seeking Him, we're praying for this, and we're praying for that, and we're doing this, and, you know, and of course we're praying. But just seek Him and wait on Him. And just, Lord, let me sit in Your presence. Let me just see You and Your holiness and Your glory. Just wait on Him. Sometimes we got to quieten our minds and our hearts. That's pretty hard for some of us to do. Yes, dear. Well, we've talked about soaking. Is everybody familiar with soaking? In other words, getting some nice, peaceful, quiet, not jumping and jiving music. Sometimes you can soak with jumping and jiving, but not very easy. But just put some quiet music on and just ask him to come. And just sit in it. So it's easy to say sit in his presence, but just be quiet and say, Lord, come. I want to see you. I want to see your holiness. I want to see your glory. And as we just get in that quiet, we call it soaking, but that quiet stage, you know, he'll reveal himself to you. And when we look to him as a person, not the things that we want, not the things, but him, trusting in him. What is in Psalms 22? They trusted God. They trusted the Lord, and he delivered them. He didn't deliver them first, and then they trusted him. It says they trusted him. You know, just think about it. Jesus on the cross was trusting his Father, and he was seeing his Father, the holiness of God. He trusted his Father. What about Abraham? When God told him to go sacrifice Isaac. That'd be pretty, you know. Well, God did the same thing with his son, but, you know, here, you go sacrifice your son. And God, Abraham was trusting God. It was said that if he sacrificed Isaac, Abraham knew that he'd raise him from the dead. But he trusted God. And he didn't go any further. He just trusted God. Amen? Wait on the Lord. And I want to encourage you to just spend some time. And it's sometimes we got to go click, 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 turn the brain off. Pretty tough sometimes. Amen? Amen. It really is. I'm the world's worst sometimes. You know, you get to doing this, you get to doing that, and you get to doing it, and you're thinking, you're doing all this stuff, and then you say, okay, God. Okay, God, you just don't go click, and it's all, the brain quits working. We have to work at it. We have to sit and ask and look to him. A relationship with the Father. A relationship with the Lord. Amen. So, Father, we come to you right now in the name of Jesus. Lord, we look to you. We look to you in your holiness. Lord, we want to see you. See you in your holiness. And Lord, we wait. We quiet ourselves and we wait for you. Lord, just come. And Lord, I just ask that you just open and give each one of us time to be quiet before you and to see you in your holiness. And we just thank you and we magnify you. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.